Alrighty, we all good?
Nope, but sure. Hey.
Good stuff.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
I mean, you got to be more specific if you mean in general for the podcast, because like we've not been okay for almost 3 years now. So,
Well, I mean, are you ready to record?
Oh yeah, I could do that.
We know that it's maybe not been nobody's actually okay.
I'm great, Chris. I'm doing fantastic.
All right. Glad Tony is the one. He's like,
I just like how we're opening this with nobody's actually okay.
I mean, did I lie?
Nope. I no lie detected.
Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 578. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Recently fired 6 NFL head coaches and the Xbox One. Yeah.
I mean, you had a busy week, Tony.
Wait, you fired the Xbox One?
I didn't, but Microsoft did.
Oh, right. Well, on the bright side, Sony's right there to like, you know, like, yeah, we're still making PS4s.
We're increasing production. What are you doing? What's happening?
Earl is here.
I will just say that I am against any changes to the filibuster on this Game of the Year podcast, even though I respect what you folks want to do. I just can't in good conscience vote at this moment. So
that's going to make this very difficult, but we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
What do you mean if you don't do your job?
Because there'll never be a tie.
And hello, Jeff.
Hello.
yeah, it's Game of the Year, 2021. We are going to go through some categories.
Game of the Year 2020. Nobody really cares at this point what day you say. I can say it's 2025. Nobody's going to question me.
It's true. Game of the Year of whenever we actually feel like it. I don't know. I thought 2021 was a pretty good year for games, but looking at our like list, it's
more sparse than usual.
I think what I've heard and I kind of agree with is that it was a really good. It was a good year, but that was where it stopped. It was a good year. It's not like there's not that one where it's like, oh man, this is an instant classic. It's a lot of like, oh, I had fun with it. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. And I would say, you know, I'd say for games in 2021 and movies too, I thought it was better than 2020.
Yes. That's not saying a ton.
I know,
it's kind of sad because you expected a lot of things that would have hit in 2020 to hit in 2021. Like, I understand like the delays because of the COVID stuff, but like as we get acclimated to the situation, except it never seemed to actually happen. Like, things still got kicked down the road. So things that you would have expected in 2020 are still looking at 2022 now.
That's why at the end, it's like, you know, hey, at the end of the day, I thought 2021 was still an improvement. With that, you know,
there was 2020 felt like a void, like there was literally nothing. And this year it wasn't nothing, which is great. Yeah. It wasn't like, but oh, it great, was, look it, at it, all it, this it, stuff, but glass is half full, I suppose.
Yeah, I think it's the same thing with movies too. I should agree. What it felt like everybody wasn't putting out their A game because they knew like you weren't going to get that return on your investment because you don't have as many. So everybody says, like, what can we get out as soon as we can that's going to be good? But, won't, you know, like, we don't need that extra 6 months of polish to make sure it's something phenomenal. Because, again, like, I mean, I'm sure if we looked at the numbers, almost every game that, like, every major game probably sold really well. And you're getting away with, like, I mean, for lack of a better term, like, basically selling your AAA games in the space of the lack of AAA titles from an auto publisher.
Sounds fair. Surprisingly, multiplayer, it looks like our most populous category.
I don't think that's surprising. Like, given like how you interact with people now, multiplayer is how you play games at the moment.
Yeah, that's fair. But yeah, I mean, in terms of like I will say this: I think we normally game of the year conversations are dominated by those big epic single player games. Like we talk about like the Sony stuff that they release and like an Assassin's Creed or something like that might fit in there. And I don't
some big RPG. You know, yeah. I was bitching about how we didn't get that. I think 2022, that conversation will, you know, I think that will be the conversation that dominates 2022 at the end of the year, this year.
I mean, it's definitely we're gonna get some of them. Yeah. Whether it's for all of us here or not, but I think we'll probably definitely be talking about Elden Ring and stuff like that by the end of the year. Which we just didn't have anything like that. And Horizon, what is it, Forbidden West? That'll be out early next year.
This year,
yeah.
I mean, it's not in like, I think a month or so.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things. Yeah, I think a lot of those, because I mean, that was like a game that was intended to be end of last year and didn't make it.
Warhammer 3, same thing.
I mean, there's a lot of games, I think, in the first two or three months of this year that were intended to, and I mean, granted, that usually happens, but I think it was felt more when it just wasn't like anything else in that pocket. Where it's like, okay, if you had like Demon's Souls knockoffs, like if you had something like Fallen Order 2 or something like that in that space, but you didn't. And I mean, like we had Tales of Arise for a big JRPG, but that does not fill the void that I think Final Fantasy or even like a Xenoblade does nowadays.
Yep. All right. So I guess we'll just jump into this. I don't know if like there are some categories here. We only have like two games in.
Maybe we'll come up with more during the show. You never
say.
Maybe as we progress, we'll add some stuff in there.
Some of us are doing our homework on the fly here.
Fair enough.
I can't imagine whom.
But let's kick off with basically a singular category here. Tony's strategy game of the year. As Tony, you're going to have to sell us on these games or make a pick.
or we're eliminating this category.
No. This is the best category of them all. So I think leading off with it is best. Everybody can turn off the podcast as soon as we're done with this one. Because we are.
I think we're just trying to turn it off.
After all we've said about how, you know, mediocre 2021 was, not bad but not good, strategy game wise it was pretty good. There were some really high quality releases, not so much the top tier ones that you look for, like, you know, Civilization or whatnot, but some really good like smaller franchises, except for Age of Empires 4, which is really, really well-known franchise, although probably not my favorite on this list. I'm not a big that sort of RTS person, but there were some other really good quality titles. The remaster of the original Rome Total War was fantastic, absolutely stunning. That game really, really needed an update. It's a game that a lot of strategy gamers love and have loved for a very long time, but looked like crap on modern PCs. So that update was fantastic. It made some really good changes, added some new units. Like it really like revitalized that game and made a good experience. There were not one but two basically Civilization-esque games that tried to like put a good reimagining of how a 4X world conquering game should look. Old World and Humankind, both very good. Humankind was actually launched to Game Pass, so I think it got out to a lot more people than it might have otherwise. that game was really cool because you could like go around and start from the Stone Age and bring your civilization through epics and kind of develop it as time goes by. You could be like the Sumerians and then the Romans and then the Franks. You could develop your civilization over time and become more and more. And then Old World had that Crusader Kings-esque vibe where you would found cities and those cities would get families and those families would interact and you could like assassinate other people's kings or like negotiate with relatives and off their king and that kind of stuff. There were some really, really cool elements in both of those games. Grand Tactician, the U.S. Civil War, was kind of a really highly anticipated war game title. There aren't a ton of really accessible games about the Civil War, despite it being a really popular topic. And this was actually like a game kind of built around a Total War-esque view of the Civil War, so it was more playable. I'm not sure that this is, again, probably not the best game on this list, but definitely worth mentioning. And then a game that really disappointed me in 2020, the Total War Saga game, Troy. And it was disappointing because it took this like really rich mythological period and took all the mythology out of it and kind of made it like humanized. Well, this the Mythos expansion that they added to it this year added all that back in and made it the game that it was supposed to be in the first place. You know, so you're out on the battlefield with Medusa and centaurs and you know, flying stuff dropping things on you and Hydra shooting stuff across the map. It's just a really, really cool expansion, and pretty much all you got out of Total War this year. So it was nice to kind of fill the void left by the fact that Total War Warhammer 3 dropped to 2022. So pretty good strategy gaming year.
All right, Tony, what is your strategy game of the year though?
If I had to pick one,
and you're the only one who can, because none of us have paid.
Because
any
the rest of you're like,
I'll tell you what I think is the coolest is that the Troy mythology one. Like that sounds awesome.
Say that, but it's also just an expansion.
Yeah,
it is. But like I think one of the redeeming qualities of this game, the original game was launched on the Epic Store for free. So this is the first time you've actually paid for this game this year. And the thing that you paid for was the thing that actually made the game what it was supposed to be. I don't know what that says for the launch of the game.
Like they released like half a version of it.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a bringing an endorsement of the title.
Right, but now for $20 you get a game that's actually worth playing. And is quite enjoyable. I mean, if I would choose that, I would probably, if you had set my hands in the fire, I really like Old World. I think it does some really cool things to that whole 4X experience. Not just with the families, but there's a lot of interesting things going on in the world and how you like experience things and how you develop and how you interact with your neighbors. I think most of the time when you play these games, interactions are pretty stilted. In this game, they're complex. They can change over time. So that kind of diplomacy aspect is finally developed in a way that you don't really see in Civ or in any of its other competitors. So if I had to pick one, that would probably be the one.
All right. What would your two runners-up be?
I would probably go with the Troy Mythology expansion, and I would say Total War Rome Remastered. I love that game. The original was my most played game of all time, and bringing it back into a form that shows that it can still like compete with modern games is pretty cool. So
nice. All right, well, there we go. Old World is Tony's strategy game of the year.
Woo! And another year we don't fade him.
It'll happen eventually, won't it?
There'll be a Pikmin game. Maybe.
Well, I mean,
if they ever release a new Pikmin game, Jeff, I will play it. It will happen.
I think that there is a chance that we all
Halo Wars 3. I mean, you never know.
I think there's a chance that for 2022 that there's some more mainstream strategy games possibly coming out. There's that Marvel game that looks kind of like XCOM.
That Mario Rabbids.
I think both of them may end up here. It may still be Tony's strategy game of the year, but we may have a little more to say about it.
We'll just give it to Mario and Marvel right now because there's only two that any of us are gonna...
All right. Moving on. I'm going to skip over column D and E here for a minute and jump into a best remaster, remake, or reboot, of which we have six games listed here. Centipede Rearmed, Mass Effect Legendary Edition, Total War Rome Remastered, Skyward Sword, Super Mario 3D World, and Final Fantasy Pixel Remasters 1 through 5.
Can I come out of the gate here?
What was that?
Can I come out of the gate here?
Yeah, go ahead.
I think there's two that stand out for me here, and it's Mass Effect Legendary Edition and Super Mario 3D World.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Skyward Sword. Interesting.
I mean...
A newly really... gilded turd is still a turd.
I would say it was a turd. You know, it was a nice opportunity to replay that game and kind of appreciate it in a way that I didn't before. But it didn't, you know, other than adapting it to a normal game, I can't recall if it did anything else other with it.
It did. I mean, it did kind of get it. A lot of it was more quality of life changes. A lot of like feed doesn't. As much or as often you don't get
pretty small edits, though.
I mean, you say so, but a lot of it is like it does make the game much more accessible, not accessible, but not as tedious to a lot of people. I think stuff like that, I think stuff like they condense the opening hours to make maybe 2 hours, like maybe 30 minutes or something like that. They sped up some of the dialogue. So, and I haven't played it, but I do know like those were some of the changes they highlighted. Interesting, because I was going to say I was going to nix 3D World as much as I really, really enjoy that game. It doesn't really change a ton from the Wii U version.
Well, here's my logic on this, and it's fairly obvious. It gives you a new game with it. So, like,
if you're going to do a re-release,
I mean, that's one awesome way
to
do it.
But that's a new game. That's not this
game. Yeah,
that's the thing that game
is nominated in categories.
I've kind of separated them out because the game is literally Super Mario 3D World plus Bowser's Fury. So it's like there's two separate things here. So the remaster would be 3D World. Did they add online?
Yes, they added online, and they also increased the speed, which actually kind of breaks the game in some way. Because some of the characters, like the game's designed a certain way, and you increase the speed, some of the characters like Toad are just broken for certain challenges because he just goes much faster than the game ever intended for the speed to be. But it's a fantastic 3D Mario game. Online, I think, is a big get for a 3D Mario game in general, or a 2D Mario game. I mean, it's the first Mario game with online play capabilities in general, really. I think Mario Maker 2 had it, but that was, I don't know. But yeah, I mean, I think fundamentally it was just in my head. It's not that it's a bad remake or remaster, I think, but it's like it's a base game of a 9 game that is a remake remaster, which is a 9 game.
All right. Well, there's two on the ends here that I don't think kind of make the cut, but I did think I wanted to mention. One is the Final Fantasy Pixel Remasters. I don't think they make the cut just simply because it hasn't reached everybody yet. These are great versions of Final Fantasy 1 through 5. They're the original games redone in a new beautiful 2D pixel art. And on Steam they have achievements, but they have not hit like everybody yet. So they're only on Steam. I think they kind of need to get on the consoles for them to really kind of shine. Like they're out there and they're great, but I don't really know if they pull through just yet. And the other one is Centipede Rearmed, which I've included in a couple categories here. I talked about it like maybe back early December, because that's kind of when I fell down the rabbit hole on it. It's one of the Atari Rearmed games.
There's another one that just came out, isn't there?
Asteroids Rearmed.
Asteroids just came out, and then they also did...
Black Widow Rearmed.
Okay.
Space Invaders? Is that not them?
No, Space Invaders is not them. That is on Xbox Live Gold.
But there is that, in that kind of same vein.
Yeah.
The Pac-Man.
It's a Pac-Man off. Championship Edition. Yeah, yeah. Like it is that. That is what Centipede Rearmed is. It has a whole single player challenge mode where you're trying to do different things. I've never liked Centipede.
What?
I don't like the trackball, and it's cool. Like you pop a quarter and play around, but I never really got hooked on it. And this is the first time like that. It was like, yeah, this is really cool. Like visually, it looks great. The music is fantastic. And it's cool that like Atari for that VCS thing, they have kind of like reimagined some of their classics. Really excited for, I think it's Breakout. Which is coming later this year, Breakout Rearmed, which is going to be cool. But yeah, I thought it was, this is the time to kind of mention it. I don't think it hangs here with Mass Effect or either the Nintendo ones or Total War, but I thought I would just give it a little bit of a go.
And I'm just going to add one here that I don't think will win, but I think it's the biggest one of the year, so we might as well talk about it here.
Yeah.
Pokemon Brilliant Diamond and Shining, whatever. The Diamond and Pearl remakes. Because, the Pokemon remakes tend to be massively divisive games somewhat, but it's biggest remake on this of the year. It seems like they added a lot of stuff that some people were happy with weren't. It's a Pokemon game, so I don't pay attention to fan base anymore, but I figured just throw that out there.
I don't look directly to the fan base.
Yeah. I did not get it this year. I was just like,
I did it for me, Pokemon. For me it didn't make any sense. There's a new Pokemon game out in 2 weeks.
I don't even know if I'm gonna get that. Like I'm new to the series and I'm already sick of it.
Wow, that didn't take long.
It like took like 2 or 3 games. I'm like, these are all the same. And they're not particularly like deep or like challenging or engaging.
I think they are deep, but they're deeper like for things that we're not.
Yes, like the meta game.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people are into like the training battles and racing your Pokemon to have perfect natures and IVs and all that nonsense. The shiny hunt. There's a lot of mechanics that I think they add some replayability and depth for a lot of people, but I think the percentage of people who do on any level is minuscule compared to the amount of people who actually play the games.
The games are massive, so. All right, we'll leave it there for now. I don't think any of us really got into it, but we can kind of leave it there. I think Mass Effect definitely is kind of in the talk. Jeff, you and Tony played through 1.
Yeah.
Which is the one that's kind of... I mean, they're all remastered, right? But that's actually kind of like a remake of the first game.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this is like the shoo-in one, right? Like, it's like, they kind of fixed some of the flaws from that first Mass Effect, right? And you know,
some would say they've broken the original Mass Effect, but
I don't think so.
I think those people are wrong. They made it more in line with Mass Effect 2 and 3, made the action more punchy.
It's still Mass Effect 1, though. It's still a deeper RPG than the other ones. Like, I don't know. I thought they did a good job with it, you know?
Yep.
They've kind of breathed new life into that game that would probably feel a little clunky nowadays, you know? I don't know. I'm fine with that one.
My
personal pick would be because of Bowser's Fury, but I see why you guys don't want to pick it because of that. And so for me, then the obvious one is Mass Effect, and I'm cool with it.
Are we all good with Mass Effect winning this?
Oh, yes.
I got no horse in the fight.
All right.
The only thing I would point is that nobody suggested the best remake remaster of the year.
Oh, God. What would that be, Earl?
Grand Theft Auto Definitive Edition.
Who?
GTA 3, the Definitive Edition that came out a few months ago.
Forgot that happened.
Yeah, I couldn't even think. I did not run into the issues that people were running into. But I also did not play San Andreas.
Yeah,
it seemed like people played it backwards, and Jeff and I were like, "We're gonna start at the beginning," and then we burned out like 20 hours in.
Yeah, because you know, it also kind of reminded you, "Hey, those games are pretty fucking old now." Like, it was neat, you know. But by the time I was done with GTA 3, I was like,
"I don't even want to go play the one that I consider the best."
Yeah, in series. I know. It's like, I'll hit it. I'll get to it during some lull somewhere. I know I'll play that one.
But yeah, like playing 90 hours straight of GTA, I was not like feeling.
No.
Especially when like it was clear that they weren't quite done.
Yeah, like they're still improving San Andreas, and hopefully by the time we get to it, it'll be in good shape. I don't know. I think a Total War Rome Remastered is a solid runner up here.
Yeah.
And then I don't know. What do you guys?
Well, I just assumed Skyward Sword and Bowser's Fury would be your runner-up. No?
I don't feel Skyward Sword is enough. I hear you. I just don't think it's enough. They're smart changes, but it's stuff they could have done in like a fucking week. Like, I don't know. Like,
so are we going with Pokemon then?
I'm gonna stay here for Skyward Sword. I think. Well, one, I've always thought Skyward Sword is a good game.
And it seems
but I know enough of the changes that it
How
made.
How dare you?
It made people come
Did
around.
Did you just nominate a game you didn't play?
Oh, I didn't nominate Skyward Sword.
I put it on there just because it was considered a good, you know, remaster.
Yeah.
Jeff, you did come around on Skyward Sword. You don't think it was because of any of the changes they made, or like you don't love it, but you did like it more. Did we lose Jeff?
He's just so befuddled now. He just didn't know what to do with himself.
All right. Well, since Jeff has gone mute,
Total War.
Total War. I think I've highlighted that. I think that's one of our runners up. I mean, if Jeff is not going to voice further displeasure with Skyward Sword, we'll gray that in.
Okay.
That's wrong place to gray. So that'll be our runners up.
All right.
Sorry, Super Mario 3D World. We will talk more about you though.
Yeah, we will. Game of the year, bitch.
Oh, there's Jeff. He just dropped that.
Are we
he just
done dropped with this goddamn fucking category?
We are. Biggest disappointment.
I nominated a good one here.
I was gonna say it's a weird year. Nothing came to. Well, I think I nominated something, but it felt like there wasn't anything that was like super hyped that felt disappointing. There was a stuff that was like, oh, it's not as well as we thought. But like, I don't think it's like a Marvel's Avengers level catastrophe this year.
No, there wasn't. There wasn't anything that was like that bad. All right. So biggest disappointment. We do have five that we've listed here. Tony, I'm assuming you have put down Apex Legends.
Yes, that was me. God, way to take a game that was great and just ruin it. Just kick it in the teeth repeatedly. Make new maps for it that all sucked.
They killed your boy.
Keep adding updates that broke the game in various ways. Like I have never seen a good product ruined the way they ruined Apex this year. Makes
that
me
was
sad.
Also it was also the time where like there was like that week or so that you and Walt couldn't actually play the game, right?
That's right. We couldn't play the game together. Yeah. We couldn't make it work. It was just sad.
But I thought there was also a time where it was just down. Because they did something to like Titanfall, and that big broke the game. Yeah. People accessing it.
Sony's second half first party lineup.
I mean, true, but I don't think we should seriously consider that. I don't know.
They seem to be lining up a great year for them, and then. Where did it all go?
I was going to ask, did they have a second half first party lineup?
Like, no. I feel like I have this awesome console that I really have no reason to use.
Their last big release, I believe, was in June in Ratchet. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because and not that they had promised, you know, GT6, Horizon, God of War, but they had kind of like, oh, it's coming. And actually, Horizon, I think, was originally slated for end of the year. It got pushed because it's coming out in February now.
Yeah, it was slated. I think God of War might have been slated for this year, too. But, I mean, even that aside, I feel like you should have some... Like, it should have been that if one or two games gets pushed back, your first year on the market should have still had enough titles where you could have slotted something else in where you don't have a major title release for 8 months.
Yeah, I mean that's straight up that almost feels like Microsoft at their worst.
Like, I mean, I think we're all in agreement on this. Like it's disappointing. It's a disappointing thing, but it just feels like a snarky way to give out this award.
I wrote it down simply because, you know, as Tony said, like we put out $400-$500 on this machine.
Yeah, well, I didn't do that.
And it's for both of us, it's a secondary machine, right? It is not the primary machine we use, but
it's been off mostly.
Turned it on.
I mean, it's funny because like Nintendo didn't really have I guess they did have a big game in the back half of the year, but they certainly had a much better lineup than Sony did.
They had several big games in the back.
I mean, well, what do you mean several? I mean, there's Metroid and what?
Pokemon, Mario Party.
That doesn't count.
How does that not count?
I don't know, but it's there.
Mario Party. Yeah, it's a Nintendo game. But
and what do you count as the second half? Because that would also be Skyward Sword.
Skyward Sword was July. Yeah.
I guess it depends on what you get. Because again, you say Metroid, Mario Party's a bigger franchise.
Metroid is. I guess Metroid was their big game technically, but
it's the Pokemon remake. I mean, that was their big game.
But like, there was like even with their smaller stuff, like which I mean, as you said, Mario Party's bigger, but even with some of their smaller stuff. You know, at least they had stuff that they were putting out on the system, as opposed to like Sony. I don't think had there was nothing that caught my eye that came from them. That could be on Tony and I, but I blame it on them. Anyway, I just put it there because I was disappointed. moving on, Biomutant.
Yeah, dude.
I'll come back to that in a second. 12 Minutes and Metroid Dread. Biomutant, I put down here. I was actually looking forward to that. Like, visually, I thought the game had a really cool art style, cool concept, and then it came out, and it was meh.
So, Biomutant would be really, really high up there for me, and I did not even play it. Biomutant, based on, like, just some of the art I saw, I was like, oh, this is the throwback to, like, the N64 style era to me. Like, I don't know. Like, I knew nothing really about the game, but it was going to be a blind buy for me. And I don't typically listen to reviews, even when, you know, when they say something is really bad. But just then the buzz around this game before it came out was very, like, not buzz. It was a very negative reaction from almost everybody who was getting to play it beforehand. Yeah. And then I let Chris dive in on that, and I was like,
I'm out.
There's still part of me that, like, you know, I always want to see things for myself. And so, like, if it ever actually fucking dropped enough, I would try it out. But, like, it's just so disappointing to me that it was not the game I had built up in my head, which, you know, partially my fault, I think. But it had potential even as what it was supposed to be, and it wasn't really good as that either, from what I hear. So it's like,
right. Yeah,
it's up there for me. Like, even as a game I didn't play, it's pretty high up there.
Like, to have everything voiced by this nebulous narrator, and all of your characters have like dialogue, but they all just like chitter at you. Like, it's like, you, obviously you had a budget for voice acting, because everything is narrated by this guy, including your character's dialogue, except he's like telling you a story, and then your characters kind of like have this like baby chittery type noise. It's like so annoying. There's lots to be disappointed about with that game. 12 Minutes. It's an indie darling, like, you know, coming in, like, there was a lot of hype around 12 Minutes.
Is it really, like, before it came out?
Like, it was like very, like, it was very anticipated.
Is it the developer or something, or just the concept? I don't even know who made it.
The concept was what, I mean, I remember hearing about it when it was first announced about 2 years ago, and people were like, this is going to be really cool. It had big name voice acting with Daisy Ridley and Willem Dafoe. I can't think of the guy who did voice work on it too. The other, the husband, but, you know, big name voice actors attached to it. Had some pretty big buzz from like people like Greg Miller. And, so there was some hype around this game, and did it shit the bed?
I heard a lot of people had problems with the ending, and we've discussed this throughout the year. I didn't like the first hour of it. I was like, within the first hour, I was like, all right, delete. I did not care for it. It's a kind of an interesting idea, but I was just immediately like, what the fuck am I supposed to be doing? I didn't like it at all, and I had no hype for it. So for me, like, not a game I liked, but I would not.
You weren't disappointed at it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, I'm assuming you added this on here.
Yeah.
Metroid Dread.
So, Metroid Dread was, like, shoo-in, obvious, like, obviously this was going to be my game of the year. And then I pretty much disliked it.
Then you played it.
And, you know, it's not that it's a bad game. It's that it didn't feel like they get Metroid right. Like, it's not what I expected out of Metroid.
Kind of a complaint.
Not in a good way either. Not like, oh, this is, it wasn't like Majora's Mask where you're like, oh, this is surprising and really cool. It was like, you guys don't get this, do you? You know,
that was kind of a complaint you had about their remake of Metroid 2, right?
Well, I had never played that game, so I thought that maybe that's just how that game always was.
Okay.
But Yeah, dude. Like, you know, and I was playing it going, am I fucking crazy? Like, thinking, like, this is not right. Like, this doesn't feel right. And it's like, finally, like, I found people who came to the same conclusions as me about the same problems I had with the game. I'm like, okay, I'm not crazy. There's other people out there that
I mean, it's the internet. Exactly, you'll find a lot of people who agree with you on stuff. Does not make you not the crazy one.
Well, it's just, you know, we zeroed in on, like, the same things, too. Like, such as the way it'll, like, just lock off the whole map to you and force you to go down a certain, like, path. I'm like, okay, well, this is not, that's not what a Metroid-style game is supposed to be. That's not how you do it. Like,
I agree.
And they do that.
But that's like, I get what, because, I mean, it's not necessary. You can't get to the final boss in, like, the first 5 minutes of Metroid.
That's not what I mean.
I know what you mean. I know exactly what it is. I'm just saying that I think
they literally freeze the entire map like in ice. And you're like, okay, that can only go down this one tunnel
Do freeze the map. There are times, but I do think it's one of those things that you had to streamline because, I mean, calling a spade, the type of game that's not so well where it's like, oh, you know, I have to, like, they were basically just trying to solve the problem with, like, people getting lost and needing to know where to go. I'm not saying that people did not get lost in the game, but
Ori doesn't dumb it down the genre for people. I don't buy that. Like, I don't. I just think that this developer is a bad fit for Metroid for me personally. And so, and there's just, you know, if we're talking about biggest disappointment, like, just for me personally, there's no bigger disappointment than this game this year. And it's a game that I'll admit is good. Like, you know, it's not like poorly made or anything. It's just, boy, did they just miss the mark, in my opinion. I don't know. Anyone else? I see, like, Earl's, like, more on this game side, for sure.
Oh, I'm definitely, right? Like, I mean, they stayed on. But I would also say I added one before. I don't know if it got the update for Chris, but
I do not see it.
Oh, I added Activision Blizzard biggest disappointment of this year because I don't think I need to explain why they were.
Is that disappointing or is that just like reinforcing the sad feelings we had about the industry to begin with?
Oh, I mean, it is, but I feel like I feel like it was a special level of like, oh, this can't get any worse. And every week they would somehow find something where it's like, oh, yes, it is worse than we thought it was. And this happened several times throughout the year. But yes, I mean, I think we've all agreed that the nature of the industry is kind of, not kind of, it is extremely messed up. But I thought this was particularly a really rotten year for them.
I mean, no doubt. I don't know. I don't know. For some reason tonight, I'm not liking these, like, more meta or whatever. Like,
oh, it's not
the industry or Sony. I feel like there's games that were disappointing that kind of stick out a little bit.
Yes, but I mean, I think we've had this discussion every year we do this. Is disappointment takes many forms. It could be like, I mean, using your example, you acknowledge that Metroid's a good game, just not what you expected it to be or wanted it to be. That's a disappointment. I think saying that this industry is full of shit is also a disappointment because it's not a conversation that's new to this year. It's not a conversation that's new to this decade. And to find out that, like, one of the biggest third parties is, like, the biggest offender right now. And it has been going on for, what, 15 years or so.
Yeah, and that maybe their CEO threatened to kill somebody.
Here's my biggest disappointment. Half the population won't get a fucking free shot to,
It's like 40%. It's not half.
Yeah, you're right. It's about 40%. That's my biggest disappointment of 21.
Oh, no, that is, true.
We're getting out of this shit by the end of the fucking year. Once it's available, America.
Your mistake was having expectations for other people's behavior.
Well, that it was just, it seemed like such a, well, obviously we're going to get out of this. Not, like, you know, if the fucking planet was going to blow up and there was a giant spaceship that everyone could get on to get off the fucking planet to live, you'd figure everyone would get on the fucking, like, oh, we're going to be okay, guys.
But also, you've seen Independence Day, right? Like, they go up to the top and, like, worship the aliens. They have a party underneath the alien ship.
I just think, like, my office would always do, like, the flu shots. And the number of people who wouldn't go get one, even though they're doing them in the office and you don't have to do anything, you just have to go get one.
You
go sit in the chair. And I'm like, you know, I had the flu once and it sucked. And I will get a shot for this every time. And I don't understand. And they're like, oh, I just never get sick. I'm fine.
So there was there
and those
was
people are making that people. Same fucking decision about COVID that they were making for their fucking
I feel
shot.
Like that number has got to have gone up though in the last year or two because of all the just how crazy the internet and the kind of Trump aspect of things and
oh it definitely has.
Yeah. I feel like that number had to be smaller at some point. I don't know.
Well, it's a yes.
I'll admit, Tony, I didn't always get a flu shot because, like, just like you just said. But if someone said, "Here, do you want a flu shot?" I would have been like, "I guess, sure." You know what I mean? Like, I was take it or leave it. Now I'm just like, I'll get all my fucking shots.
See, yeah. I didn't. I mean, I maybe it was naivety. I did not realize how many people did not get their flu shot until this came up, and I'm like, "Oh, but
you know why?"
Like, no, we don't.
Because like, I so rarely get sick. Like, that's why I never got it. Like, I was just
and
like,
that's why people think the same thing about COVID. Like, it got compared so many times to the flu, and people are like, oh, it's just like the flu. I don't need to get
yeah,
the flu.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But now, thing is, you know, my thinking is why, you know, the flu is not pleasant, so fuck it. I'll take the.
Okay. Yeah,
free. Even if it's not free.
Like, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question, Jeff. Do you wear the seatbelt?
Not always.
Oh God!
It's not like a conscious thing. I when I realize I don't have it on, I'll put it on. I hop in.
Really?
It
oh, okay. I was gonna say because anytime I get in the car without a seatbelt, that damn thing goes off that tells you you're not wearing a seatbelt. All right,
I hop in and out of a truck about 50 times a day, and I'm driving.
I think that's really part of the job. Square. Like when you're driving around in a car, you wear your seatbelt.
Yeah, but there's a lot of times I'll be several blocks away from my house before I realize I haven't put it on, and then I'll put it on.
Probably because the car's yelling at you at that point.
Well, the other thing is, I imagine...
I don't have that model for my car.
Since Jeff doesn't normally wear his seatbelt when he works, like, he's probably conditioned not to have it on.
I'll drive with my fucking door open. I hope no one from the post office ever listens. But I'll drive with my fucking door open.
I was going to say, I mean, maybe it's just me. I feel like that's just a... The door open... Because, again, like, a lot of people, maybe it's more, like, old school. Because, like, a lot of people, like, their routes would be, like, you drop it off in mailboxes on the street. So you have your door open so you could just kind of put it there.
Yeah, instead of that.
Yes.
To me, it's just the frequency. Like, dude, I'm hopping in this truck. I'm moving it down one block. I'm driving 15 miles an hour. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not flying out of this thing. I'm not going anywhere. Like, you know? I don't know. But we need to move on with this category.
What
category is this? I don't even remember. What were we
discussing? It's disappointment. It's morphed into something else.
I'm disappointed with the U.S. Postal Service. There. I am too.
I'm very disappointed.
I think the biggest disappointment is Jeff Seatbelt. I think that wins it this year.
I really feel this category, to me, this category is between the games. I say scratch 12 minutes, in my opinion. I don't know. And it would be between Metroid, Biomutant, and Apex. But Apex kind of only applies to Tony.
And I'm going to fight you on Metroid.
I mean, Apex applies to anybody who played Apex. Because, you know, it sounds like they just completely.
Which at this point is far fewer people than played before. So.
Biomutant applies to at least two of us here, even though I didn't play the game. Like, I'm very disappointed that thing did not turn out to what I imagined it in my head. And Metroid is just like, dude, for me, like, there's no contest. Nothing even comes close. So I don't know. I don't know how you guys feel. I'm not trying to say that.
Disappointed are you, Tony, that you're done playing Apex?
I loved playing Apex. What are you talking about? It was like a highlight.
Halo. You're good. Halo.
Yeah, but that.
But I went like months and months with like, what do I play now? Because Apex sucks. I waited for Halo.
Other games.
Think Apex.
I played that game for all of 2020.
Like, exactly. This game like got me through the pandemic, and then they shit all over it.
I'm fine with Apex winning, so we don't have to have the argument on Metroid.
That works for me.
All right.
Are you giving runner up to? Are you giving runner up to Activision?
No. I don't know why that's gray.
I was gonna say give the runner up to Biomutant. Then I think that's like a solid runner up.
Biggest surprise. We got three games and kind of an event here. MLB The Show on Game Pass. Metroid Dread, Bowser's Fury, and Axiom Verge 2.
Well, can I make my case for Axiom Verge 2?
Sure.
All right, there's two things about it. One, the fact that like you didn't hear anything about this game for like fucking 2 years, and they're like, yeah, it's out today. That was cool. But I think the even bigger surprise about Axiom Verge 2, and I think I'm the only one here who has played it, right?
Yes.
Is that Axiom Verge 2 could have just did another Metroid, like the first one, and it was so fucking different from the first one that was a really cool surprise. Like, I was not expecting it to look so different, to sound so different, and to really kind of say, you know, these games don't have to be about this. These games could be about what you actually like about these types of games is exploring. Let's just make it about exploring. There's no fucking hard bosses. It's not challenging. It's just about figuring out where you're going. Like, I don't know. I thought that the guy who made Axiom Verge could have easily just did Axiom Verge again. And, like, Axiom Verge 2 is pretty surprising departure from the first one. So, that's my case for that.
All right. Go ahead, Earl.
Oh, I was going to put Metroid Dread. I put Metroid Dread. And
it was a huge surprise.
I was going to say this is Jeff's meta, though. I meant more as a surprise in the fact that coming into this year, we didn't know this game existed. Like, the rumors had always been about Metroid Prime 4, Metroid Prime Remastered. This was announced in June and out in October. The fact that it came out, again, Nintendo does this, but the fact that it was a game that was announced and dropped this year, that nobody, there's been speculations, but like Dread has been around since, I think, 2005, 2004, something like that. The fact that it was Dread, the fact that it was Metroid 5, the fact that it came out, you know, qualms aside, it is a well-received game overall. it's more of a matter of like, oh, this actually exists after almost two decades. It turned out to be a good game, and it was announced in the next 3 months.
Yeah. I mean, I think that definitely fits as a surprise. Like,
agreed.
And then it turned out so bad. Like, who would have expected?
It was a well-received game overall, which is what I said.
And even Jeff said earlier he didn't think it was bad.
Yes, it's just not what he wanted.
That's right.
I'm not sure that it's surprising that Bowser's Fury is good.
No, I think I might have added Bowser's Fury. I think the surprise of Bowser's Fury was you kind of just expected that it would be like a new area in Super Mario 3D World or something like that. Like one of those like really gimmicky add-ons, and then like it really is kind of its own game.
I mean, it is really its own game. But I would say, I guess to kind of argue for Jeff's point on that, kind of similar to Metroid, is that this game was announced at the end of last year. And it was literally just Super Mario 3D World plus Bowser's Fury, and we had no idea what Bowser's Fury was. I think going into this year, into early this year, where it's highlighted, and I don't think anybody kind of expected it to be. I mean, you know, we've had Mario games for 35 years now, and I don't think we've ever had something that's essentially kind of a prototype for a larger game. Like, the game itself is like 3-4 hours long, but it feels like it's like It's a focus testing. What do you want the next 3D Mario game to be?
It is, you know, there's two styles of 3D Mario games, and this is a third one. You know what I mean? That's
kind of. I would say this is. I would say there's three types of 3D Mario games. This would be.
Well, I'm thinking. Go ahead.
Oh, there's 64 Sunshine and Odyssey. There's Galaxy 1 has been in 3D and 3D World.
Wait, say that again?
So the 64 Sunshine Odyssey.
Yeah.
Galaxy 1 and 2 is a different type.
Oh, yeah. I kind of forget about Galaxy, even though it's like the best one. Yeah, you're right. You're totally right. But this is a whole new one. You know what I mean? Like,
I agree and disagree because to me, and I think the biggest surprise to me was when I played this game, and I think I said this on the show, is to me, this was like Nintendo being like, we want to try Sunshine again, but we have the technology and the understanding of how it works now. Because this is kind of the combination of Sunshine's, like, you know, Sunshine's one big theme, everything kind of ties together to that island thing. But they didn't have the technology to make it like you still had the hub world from 64, where this is like it's a free world, you can go wherever, everything's connected, it's still one theme, everything's kind of offshoot of that, but it works so much better. And I think part of it is because it's kept so simple.
I think Sunshine, because it's separated by that hub world though, like really, you know.
Yeah, and
it becomes like it's in that 64 category, whereas this is.
Oh yeah, well, I think that's what Merle was saying, right?
That it is in that 64 category. I get what he's saying. Yeah, yeah.
This is kind of like the evolution of that. Like we wanted to do something cool, I guess, but we couldn't because
you wouldn't have been able to do Bowser's Fury on the GameCube.
It's like an evolution of the 64 style. Of the Sunshine style to be like this basically it is kind of like a new type of thing, but
it really is and it's pretty good. Like, it's short, but it's pretty good, you know.
None of this is the biggest surprise of this year, because I feel like the winner of this category is so obvious. Like, you take a sports franchise that has always been identified with Sony's console,
and they do publish
you launch it, you because they pump they literally made this game,
yeah,
and then you launch it on their competitor's console, but you don't just launch it there, you launch it on their flagship ship service for free to everyone. It boggles my mind how this could ever have happened. I'm glad that it happened. Like, lots of people got to play this game who could never play it before. But it's just mind blowing how something like this could ever occur. And it seemed to take so many Sony people off guard. They're like, what is happening? What?
Well, I guess the one thing I will say is like the game itself wasn't a surprise. Like, I think this was announced several years ago that the part of the MLB deal was that it'd have to go multi-platform.
Yes, yes.
With the show.
Yeah, it's literally that MLB, because they published the Xbox version of it.
Yeah.
And not Sony developed it, but MLB actually published it under their own label. That it appeared on Game Pass, and like it just the utter shock and outrage from Sony fans, and just the like sheer joy of like oh yeah, we knew this game was coming, but now we're just getting it.
We just have it. You guys got to pay $60 for this game that we have now. Sorry.
That shit insane.
I'm okay with that one. I just, for me personally, I was really taken by surprise by Axiom Verge 2. Like, just, it was so different than what was expected, but I mean, it's kind of hard to argue with getting MLB The Show day one for free on Xbox is not a cool surprise. So if you guys feel like The Show is the one, I'm fine with that.
I'm not sure anything else was quite as shocking during
the year.
In a
good way.
Right. Like, I mean, it was like Metroid, the announcement of Metroid, which is kind of what we're talking here as well, is maybe close. But I don't know if it had quite the buzz around it that MLB The Show showing up on Game Pass did.
Sure, do it.
All right.
If no one else, you know, no other objections.
I don't.
Do we have a runner up? I don't know if we need a runner up.
Well, I think Dread would be the runner up for.
We're sucking.
It's not about the quality of the game, Jeffrey. Not about the quality of the game.
How about I just do this? All right.
I like that.
Then we're all happy.
We're good. We can move on.
Best music and sound.
Cruising Fast wins. Let's move on.
Thank you. I added that at the last second. And come on. I mean, you don't need me to sing it again, do you?
No. No, please. Please, no.
Yes, please. Save us.
Cruising.
All right.
Let's go cruising.
We will select at the winner if Jeff stops singing right now.
I was going to say, it's going to be Jeff for your bust. He's not going to stop singing to you.
Let's not run over this category. I think that Halo always brings it with music.
Right? All right. So you freak these off. Cruise and Blast, Halo Infinite, Centipede Rearmed, Fantasian, and Axiom Verge 2. We've already heard Cruise and Blast as the Jeff rendition. It's his special remix. Halo Infinite. I don't think it's just like the music is fantastic in Halo, but also the game just sounds great. Like all the guns sound great. The sound effects off the grapple hook, almost that Spider-Man type sound that it gets. Everything is great.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing I would take away from that is it's like Halo's music is kind of a known factor.
Yeah, and there's lots of repeated themes.
The moment you hear it, you're like, oh,
yeah, you're like, this
there
is
it
really
is.
Good
oh,
theme. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. That feels so good.
Yeah.
And like they do slight variations on it each time. But yeah, you're right. It is.
It sounds like Halo, you know.
Yeah. All right, Fantasian is it was an iOS game done by Mistwalker, which is the company founded by Sakaguchi, who created Final Fantasy, and he got Nobuo Uematsu to do the music. He's also the Final Fantasy composer. It is a classic. RPG sounding. It's fantastic, like all of his music. I don't necessarily know if it holds here, but I did want to mention it. And Centipede Rearmed, I wish you guys could listen to it, because I think Jeff would like get really into.
I'm kind of thinking about checking out this game, dude. Like,
I think the similar to Pac-Man Championship Edition, like the music for that game. This has like a really cool, like the chill kind of synth vibe to it. There's definitely
told me.
Like it's an excellent soundtrack. I've actually added it to like a playlist that I have that I play when I'm working. I think it's fantastic. Tell me about Axiom Verge 2 though.
So Axiom Verge 2, I kind of mentioned this before too, like it's just one very different from what you're expecting going into it. And it's just like, I don't even know how to describe it. Like it's like this weird otherworldly, like you've never heard fucking music before mixed with like this bizarre, like chanting, like it's fucking out there, dude. Like go look up Axiom Verge 2 music, but like, it's just like, it's so different from just one, what you would expect, and two, probably anything you've ever heard before. Just like this really bizarre, like choir chanting shit. Like, I don't know. I'm not good at describing music always, but it's fucking out there. Like it'll leave like an impression. Like it'll definitely leave an impression on you whenever you do play the game. You're like, oh shit, what the fuck is this? So, I think it earns a nomination. It's hard for Axiom Verge 2 to win anything here when I'm the only one that's fucking played it. And apparently the only one that gave a damn.
That's how I feel about strategy games, so welcome to my world.
Well, that's kind of your fault.
That's your fault that you're the only one who played Axiom Verge. Maybe you should have been like, fuckers, play Axiom Verge. And I've been like, Jeff, play Old World. And you'd be like, fuck you. And I'd have been like, fuck you. And I'd be like,
and then there's Cruisin',
which is like a group favorite here. I think.
How does it go? How does the song go again, Jeff?
Cruisin'.
I'm against it now. I'm against it. I think it should not win anything. Jeff's rendition must sound completely like the music in the game, which means it's horrifying.
My only problem, it's total arcade racer too. Like
it is.
It gives you that '90s fun '90s vibe.
It is. What is it called? It's not the showcase mode, but you know, like when you pass machine, it's like that song that's just gonna grab your attention.
I know. Attract mode.
Attract mode. Yes.
Yeah. Is there anything else about the Cruisin' Blast soundtrack that
there
like
need to be anything else?
No, I guess not.
It's kind of.
I mean, can you sing us some other songs from it, Jeff? I think that might help.
It's just playing every time you're in any sort of menus.
But like, no, the actual soundtrack is actually pretty good too. A lot of it, I think, is more because it's more like, I mean, it's a short race, so they tend to be more pumping, kind of butt rock, not but vocals, but like it is good music outside of just the theme song. The theme song is just really catchy.
The music is, it captures what they are going for with the game, which is you're playing a 90s, you're in the 90s. You know, the music captures that. Like
in an arcade or a movie theater that has like arcade games. Yeah, I think it kind of perfectly does what it's setting out to do. What if we give it to Cruisin' and let Halo and Axiom Verge be the runners up?
Sure.
Do we have any complaints there?
Sure.
That kind of covers almost all the games.
I can complain about anything.
He's like, I don't give a shit. All right, best looking game. Only four here, so. Yeah, maybe not a long talk. Battlefield 2042, Halo Infinite, Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart, and Forza Horizon 5.
All right, just give it to Forza, and then we'll determine the runners up.
No, because Halo is one of the most attractive games I've ever
Halo
seen.
Looks great.
I didn't even mean to say Halo. I meant to say Battlefield. God damn, what is wrong with my brain?
Well, your brain is self-corrected.
I mean, I think Halo looks awesome too, but I think Battlefield looks utterly fantastic, in every way, especially on PC. That's like one of those games that just is mind blowing in its level of detail in every way. The way the atmosphere changes, like sandstorms, that kind of thing, like how those look, mind blowing, utterly mind blowing.
Sure.
I think this. I really think this category is an argument over what the runner-up is. I think Forza Horizon 5 is like, you know, does anyone think I'm wrong here about Forza Horizon 5? Like fucking from the car models, like how they look photorealistic to the world, to the frame rate. Like, I mean, that game is kind of flawless looking.
Yeah, I think it looks great. Like an individual, like if you were to take screenshots of it, I think it looks great in motion.
Yeah.
And like I think for me, like I love how Halo looks. I think Halo looks great as well. But it's kind of all the same.
I do think Halo deserves credit though from coming a far way from when they showed it off. You know, and it is. It's not like the next gen showcase, but it does look really great on Series X. Like it's the best Halo has ever looked, you know, which is how it looked when they showed it. So I don't know. I mean, I think Halo gets kind of underrated in this category a little bit, but again, I just feel like nothing is going to come close to what Forza is. Like, I think Forza is the most polished game that came out last year. Like, period. Not just graphics. You know, it was complete.
I think it looks fantastic. Finished game. But...
Halo was not a finished game. You know. We're not talking about just graphics here. You know, Forza is a complete package.
In terms of best looking,
also,
I mean, I don't know. I don't think Halo's unfinished in what it looks like.
No. I'm just saying, Forza came out just kind of perfect and done and all that, you know. And the graphics category is probably one of its most impressive things. I don't know. Again, to me, this is like a really simple category.
No, I don't disagree with Jeff on how good Forza looks. I'm not sure it looks better than Battlefield.
I played some Battlefield. I certainly have not played as much as you, Tony. I'm just not impressed with what's going on. Granted, I've only played it on Series X. It looked like Battlefield. I don't know. I mean, but Forza also looked like Forza. Halo looked like Halo. Ratchet looks like Ratchet.
These things are all true, but I mean...
And I think for my end on Battlefield, like, my opinion may be kind of jaded a little bit by when I, like, got hit with bugs and, you know, people flying and other weird shit that... It doesn't take away from the
flying people look good?
I mean, they all look the same. there's only like five character models, but I guess they look good. Super detailed on that wingsuit the one lady has. What say you?
Well, I put Ratchet and Clank, so I just want to give that a brief. I mean, again, I'm not
beautiful.
I can't say anything I've not played. It just looks fantastic in all the footage and everything I've seen of it. It looks fantastic, but I think I'm kind of in camp close to Horizon. I think we talked about this one. Like, even like some of like, because it's not just that it's detailed, but it's actually like you find stuff. You'll find creatures in like jungle areas. You'll find water that's attractive. It's a really gorgeous looking game. And it does allow you opportunities sometimes to actually show down and take a look at it. Because sometimes something can look pretty from a distance, but you're not going through it. But when you get a chance to actually sit, it still looks like a great game.
Yeah. What I'll say about Ratchet does a lot with its art style. And it's like very, like they've modeled the fucking hair on Ratchet and his little like Lombax friend, and Clank is super shiny now, but I do think a lot of it just comes from that art style. I think it looks great. I don't know if there's stronger support for like Battlefield or Halo as a runner up. I think
Halo.
But it does seem like Jeff and Earl are on Team Forza.
I'm fine with that.
Ooh. All right.
Knocked out the easiest category. I mean, I don't know.
All right, best moment. I filled these three in. We could cut this if you guys don't have anything.
I could not
else
think
to
of
add.
Anything.
I honestly could not think of anything that stood out. He did. He agreed.
I will say it's like Microsoft Flight Simulator. Actually, like finding landmarks, specifically like being able to find my house. That was like really cool. It's like a very individual moment.
You know,
rename this category Chris's best moment. I think
Microsoft Flight Simulator was a moment in the summer, just general like plug in whatever finding your house is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like finding Disney World. Disney, finding,
checking out my hometown.
Yeah, it's like that whole like finding landmarks and like learning how to fly and seeing how pretty everything is from the air. It was really, really cool. Don't fly too close. But from the air, it all looks really neat. Jeff has just added another one to this. The other three are Resident Evil.
Before we get to the Resident Evil ones, I just want to add one I just thought of. Yeah. And I don't think it's necessarily a big moment, but I thought it was one of the ones that stuck out to me. And I think it's such an awe-inspiring moment. It's like Halo Infinite opens up and you're going through a space station or whatever. And you, at the end of it, you climb out and you fight a boss or whatever. And then once you do that, like you're in a room and like the gate opens up to kind of show you the world. And I think that's just an amazing moment when it kind
of. I don't know.
I think it's a really cool moment. It's a great way to be like, okay, you know what? Now it's not going to make this suit. I mean, you still get that, but it's not going to make this suit. Yeah, it's not going to be corridors and buildings. It's like, boom, here's this open world. And like the first thing you run into is enemies. But I think the way they handle it, I thought it was really amazing just kind of see like that thing fall down. And like, because especially in the area you're in, it's a very dark, narrow space. And then it kind of opens up to this just blue and greens and this wide world that's in front of you. It's kind of like when the first time you kind of get to the peak of the Great Plateau in Breath of the Wild, you get to see like everything you get to explore.
That's why I didn't nominate that moment, because it's one that's like kind of a cliche now. I mean, it's very cool, like in Halo, it's just like, you know, all the Fallouts do it, like, you know, Breath of the Wild, like,
yeah, I mean, it's a very familiar moment, but it is one that I think worked really well, because the first two levels that you play in this they're classic Halo levels, right? Like, it feels like Halo, and then all of a sudden it's like, and now this is your playground, which is, you know, as you said, that happens in a lot of games, but it's
kind of how you introduce the open world game now. Like, it's,
yeah,
I think Breath of the Wild cemented that. I don't know. Again, I thought of it as well, Earl, so it's like, it definitely was one of the cooler moments of the year, but that's the only reason I didn't nominate it.
It can still be a cool moment if you've seen it 100 times. I mean,
yeah, no, yeah. Absolutely, and it's a new moment for Halo.
Yeah. Yeah. And we don't have like a ton of shit going on in this category. Yeah. So. the other three are all Resident Evil related. Spoilers here, mind you, but in Resident Evil Village at the end, Ethan has he has died.
Oh no!
And he's the character you played for the last two games.
I'm never gonna play this game. How dare you ruin it?
And you're there with his daughter, and you find out that the entire time since 7. He has been this fungus thing, which is why you could chop his hand off and like mutilate him. It never seemed to like really affect him that much. It is just classic stupidity for Resident Evil. Like, it is so dumb, but they sell it so well. The other one is, it's actually the opening scene of Resident Evil Village, where you kind of go through like this like night routine of, you're there with your wife, you go put the baby to bed, you sit down to dinner with her, and then this special ops team raid your house, and Chris Redfield walks in and kills your wife. It's like, what the fuck is going on here?
I feel like this Resident Evil is such a winner for this category, because there's like several other moments that I thought the whole game is stupid. The whole game like had like these cool moments, and then so there's the one I nominated where basically the end of the game where it just kind of goes. You know, Resident Evil are not really action games, and all of a sudden at the end, it's like you're just walking around with an assault rifle, just blowing shit away. Like, it just kind of becomes like Call of Duty, like at the end. Like, I just love how the game starts very slow and quiet, Resident Evil, and gets more and more into dumb action in Resident Evil, and goes all the way into that at the end.
Oh, like all the way too. Yeah,
yeah, way further than it's ever gone before. Like you're playing you're playing Call of Duty at the end of this game. It's like, what the fuck is going on here? I really want to play this. I think I might. This might be coming up soon on my replay list. But no, you know, not listed here because I just think that's the big one. But like, just the first time you get your hand chopped off, it was a huge surprise in this. You know, running into the tall chick the first time. I don't know. There's
just the words just came out the first time you get your hand chopped.
Well, in this game, yeah. He gets his hand chopped off on the 7 too, doesn't he?
He definitely has parts of his body chopped off. Yes.
Yeah.
The jump scare at the window with the werewolf in this, like, I think we just umbrella give best moments of Resident Evil Village.
Oh my god,
that game is just filled with them. You know,
the whole thing is filled with crazy moments. I mean, I'm not opposed to that. We just condensed all these Resident Evil ones into
the best moment. The game,
Resident Evil is stupid. It's the best moment. All right. Well, I mean, just in the interest of moving on, I'm just gonna highlight all of these. All right. This one's rough. I put in a second one, so I think that the first nominee in this next category is maybe the winner. Best story.
Okay, this is where I'll be right back.
There's only two categories. There's only two nominees here: Guardians of the Galaxy and The Forgotten City. I added in The Forgotten City just to kind of give it something to bounce against Guardians.
Right.
I honestly don't know any game story this year. Like, yeah. I think this was the year of kind of, I don't want to say arcadey games, but kind of more gameplay driven. Like this, I mean, especially with Sony's lack of big first party title, it's not a big, massive story driven game this year. Sounds like Resident Evil might be up there.
Resident Evil has a story. I would not say it is the best story.
I'm not saying it's a good story. I've played through some of them, but it's a story.
It has a story. I mean, Halo has a story as well, and I think Halo's story is decent. Tony, I'm assuming you put down Guardians.
I did. I think Guardians tells a great story. I think it's really fun. The dialogue is awesome. I'm not sure, like, it kind of has that telltale thing where you're getting choices, and I don't really think the choices really affect what happens. But it's still something interesting that you're watching happen, and it's just really absorbing and really engrossing. And like playing through a Guardians of the Galaxy movie, it's a really great story.
So I'm not far into the game. In fact, I just finished the second chapter today. But that one in particular, it's almost all story driven.
Yeah.
It's not very, there's not much action.
There's not a ton of gameplay in this game.
But that the whole one with this daughter of the captain of the ship that has captured you, it's phenomenal. Like the character work, the character dialogue is so good between Peter and this little girl.
Who may not be his daughter. I don't know.
But yeah, it's kind of unclear.
Yeah, it's.
I was just gonna say. I started saying that. I don't want, but I know that was one of the dialogue options that came up.
It's like, yeah, it's like do the math or don't do the math. Yeah, I got that. It's like I don't. They did not reveal it to me, Earl. I don't know if it is or not. But she's great, like the entire time. Awesome dialogue back and forth between them. And this is like I think Tony, you said it's kind of like a Telltale game.
Yeah.
But one that plays well.
Yes.
Like, it just doesn't feel janky. Like, it's actually, at least what I played of it so far, super polished. The Forgotten City is, we talked about it here. It is a time loop game where you go back to ancient Rome. It's kind of like Groundhog's Day, but a mystery. Very good dialogue, very well written, interesting scenarios. But I don't think it necessarily hangs with the writing in Guardians. And agreed. I don't think there's any any argument. So, is Jeff back?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna.
Jeff signs off. Done.
Yeah,
yeah. All right. Best gameplay.
Not Guardians. Sorry, sorry.
No.
I was gonna bring this up when the next time we have an actual podcast, because I've played it and I know everybody's talked about it. I'm like, the game itself, it's not
awesome. No.
Oh.
I think the story, the character work really masks everything. The music.
We should have that one in the music category. I didn't even think of it.
I was thinking about it, but I'm like, some it's cheating because it's soundtrack that's not original.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, yeah.
Some of it is. I think like the.
Yeah, but
the,
I mean, are you voting for that? Or are you voting for all the musical nods and stuff it uses?
Yeah, I like the Guardians.
Oh.
Like it uses like a lot of like 70s and 80s.
Yeah,
it's not necessarily the actual songs, but they sound damn close to like. Like I was playing it, like it's like it sounded like "Hit Me with Your Best Shot" was playing, but it's not. Like it's just like some like weird version of it. Like some really cool stuff going on in that. Anyway, best gameplay, which is not Guardians. Here are nominees: Halo Infinite, Microsoft Flight Sim, Bowser's Fury, Axiom Verge 2, and Resident Evil Village.
Well, I mean, I'm just going to go with Bowser's Fury. I mean, Mario is always a gameplay-first franchise, and I think, again, top-notch controls. It feels fantastic, so.
Plays great, yeah.
This is Halo Infinite, no contest.
Another good entry.
Halo's always been very fun, and adds two things. It adds the open world, and it adds the grapple shot, and that's a lot. Like it really is such a fun playground to play in.
To play devil's advocate just a little bit with Halo, I'm not saying it's good, it's not, but I feel like part of what, if I were to knock anything against it, is you mentioned the grapple shot. And I think the grapple shot is so good that it makes all of the other sub powers, like you folks have all said the same thing.
Yep.
Like you don't bother with anything else.
I think that's the other power's fault for not being better.
But I mean, that's also, again, design aspect. It's like,
true. But
again, just playing devil's advocate.
You didn't have to have anything else for me. Like you have the grapple shot and the open world, and it was such a fun playground.
No, and I don't disagree with that. What I'm saying though is like it does, like the fact that it's not like balanced, like actually make use of all your other powers and make it. And again, it's a shooter. A lot of it is very about the weapons, but like the fact that some of this other stuff isn't as useful in combat. And it's not like it hasn't happened before, but it's like, you know, like, I've always found the jetpack has its use, but I always find like that was never a really great combat thing in like older Halo games. But yes, I'm just playing devil's advocate on that aspect.
No, and I think that's one thing. I think they should do a sequel to Halo Infinite, like in, you know, the same style. And that's something that they gotta think about.
You know? What's crazy to me, and I think also you can expand it out so it's not just the, like, because Halo Infinite is more than just the single player as well.
Yeah, I mean, the multiplayer ahead of time.
And the, you know, the grapple is in the multiplayer, but the thing that I would have loved to have seen in the campaign is the repulsor, which you can, it's a pickup in multiplayer, and that thing is phenomenal.
I guess it works better in multiplayer because how humans react versus AI. Granted, the AI has a fantastic aim of grenades sometimes. It's kind of annoying, but.
Well, yeah. Like, I mean, if you could be able to shoot the rockets back or their grenades back, or even just to push back a hunter, Because you can push vehicles with the repulsor. Like, you can actually knock vehicles off the map on that big behemoth, I think is the one it's called. You can actually knock vehicles off the map with the repulsor. So, like, being able to, like, fight a hunter with that would be so, so cool. But anyway, that's not here or there, because it's not in the game. Jeff, I'm assuming you put in Resident Evil Village.
Yeah, I think Resident Evil Village is easy, one of the best games of the year. Like,
I don't disagree. I'm not necessarily sure that gameplay wise, it's. I mean, even the part where it, like, turns into Call of Duty, it ever quite feel as good as Call of Duty.
The gameplay is it's great Resident Evil gameplay. But again, this is why I'm saying Halo wins this, because Halo is doing something new. Like, not new overall, like, we've never seen a grapple fucking hook in video games, but, you know, it's doing something new for the series. Feels great, as it always has, but it's, you know, layering but something.
Didn't you also argue that earlier about this journey?
Argue what?
That it's doing something new and different for the 3D Mario games.
It's really.
It's gameplay
structurally new different. And
different, though.
Yeah.
It is structurally different, and I do think, I mean, even gameplay-wise, I think there's some change. I think the biggest change, or the most interesting one, is the banking of power-ups is something you don't do in 3. It's not something you do in Mario games. And I think it's kind of, it's the compensated way that Breath of the Wild had, that we need to get other games other than Breath of the Wild. But like how Breath of the Wild gives you the four powers at the beginning of the game, and it's like, you know, figure out how to use it. I think being able to kind of bank like the cat and the fire flowers and stuff like that allows you an opportunity to, like, okay, we can approach this in many different ways. And yeah,
I mean, I can see your argument.
Tony,
I don't know. To me, if it's like a contest between those two, I think Halo wins, though.
Halo.
It's a bigger game. Halo. To me, I really love Mario. I love Nintendo. I think Bowser's Fury is pretty fun. But Halo surprised me in a way that I was not expecting. Like, I've always kind of liked Halo, but never been, like, in love with. And I really, like, fell in love with taking that type of gameplay and putting it in an open world. Like, it really, I think it did more for Halo than putting Mario into that open world did. Just for me, personally.
It sounds like Tony's going Halo.
Halo.
I mean, I'm not opposed to either one of them, so I'm not going to push either way.
Don't you lie, you fucking Halo fanboy.
I mean, if you guys were like Bowser Fury also, like, if you guys were like Bowser Fury, I'd be like, oh.
Okay. You played through Bowser Fury, right?
I did, yeah, it's great. I will say, like, Halo Infinite is higher on my list than Bowser Fury and Mario 3D World, so. I think those are our two. Halo Infinite, and I guess with Bowser's Fury.
Yeah, that feels right. I've made my case for Axiom Verge twice now, and it's falling on deaf ears. Nobody cares.
What's Axiom Verge?
Does seem that way. All right. Best single player. Halo Infinite, Bowser's Fury, Resident Evil Village, Metroid Dread, Axiom Verge 2, Forza Horizon 5.
Let me tell you about this game called Axiom Verge 2.
I did not hear you.
We've never heard of that game before.
What? Huh?
well, I was going to say before this, why didn't we do A and B yet? I think those are two that we could have.
Hey, he's the DJ here, man.
All right, let's do D. I already called them out.
Yes, I know. I think D and E are like the podcast enders, but yeah. I'm gonna say I recommend Metroid Dread. I'm gonna take it off the table because there's no way I'm gonna pass Jeffrey. But we will hear more about that next week.
Well, like, who would you convince? Also, I think Chris.
Yeah, that's what I said. I'm not gonna
finish it. And Tony, you didn't play Metroid, right?
What's Metroid?
Okay, see, so you're not going to win anyone there.
It's
Axiom Verge. Like, again, my case for that is that it's a 2D, you know, Metroid-style game that really focuses on the exploration, but it's kind of hard to make that case when no one else has played it.
Sonny, I heard Metroid Dread is a lot like Axiom Verge 1.
Yeah, exactly. No, because Axiom Verge 1 is what a Metroid game should be.
Well, it's like it. It's not the same.
No, definitely not.
All right. I'm sorry, Metroid-ish type games. I love Resident Evil Village, but I think that this is between Halo, Bowser's Fury, and Forza.
I'm surprised to see you discounting Resident Evil Village so much. I think there's some recency bias happening.
You know what, Jeff? Send it back to the village.
I think it's recency bias. I think it's like, I think there are games that like I think you and him are people who played it.
Resident Evil Village. Yeah. That's a problem. You guys should have played it. It's a really good game.
I do own it, I think. It's somewhere.
And this doesn't really matter either way, but all three of those other games are higher on my list than Resident Evil Village.
That's really surprising me. Because, like, I think at first I would have had Resident Evil Village lower on my list, but I really thought about it. I'm like, nah, dude, that's like a Game of the Year contender. So, like, it ended up really high on my list. So, anyways, again, I guess cross it off because it's everyone's being a fucker. And then, well, we got these three. Kind of in the same argument we just were, right?
A little bit. Yes and no, because that was best gameplay, I think.
No, we're talking like the campaign.
Yeah.
It's Halo.
Bowser's Fury is phenomenal. It is a awesome, like, 3-hour experience.
Which, again...
Not a crime. Like, that's not... Not shading it.
You know what is kind of a crime, though? Is how it... Because I just replayed Bowser's Fury. It's kind of a crime to me is it forces you into the end at the end. It's like, you only need 50... whatchamacallit?
Shines.
But I'm replaying it. I have 48, and I guess I had hurt Big Bowser so many times that all of a sudden he was like... You know how he shows up every 5 minutes? He was just there the whole rest of the time. They're just waiting for you to get to that 50th cat shine. Like, he would not go away. He's just constantly shooting at you. And I had to run around and get 2 more cat shines and then go ring the bell and beat him, and then it's game over. Like, to me, that kind of pissed me off. Explore. And I honestly, you know what? One thing I don't like about Bowser's Fury is how often he shows up. It's too
frequent. Yeah.
See, I was going to say that I think that's why I think the shorter runtime works, because I do think that aspect of it apparently got tiresome for you within that 3 hours anyhow. But I was like, that was why I was like, if it was longer and that was a gameplay, you could spread it out. But I do think what they're going for, like, I think
if you show up once an hour, it'd be like,
but that either here nor there, because you also need him to solve parts of the world map puzzles.
Yeah, I know. Like that. Near the end, to get to like the last signs, I was just going to every area that I had already gone to and looking for those Bowser blocks from the blast.
I will say that, like, it was a problem that I had with the game, though. Like, when you're trying to get those shines,
kind of
like,
annoying.
He disappears. Yeah, and like I need you. So like, you're just waiting, like, in that area. Like, that's not fun.
But... Well, so then when you're trying to do something and he shows up, it's annoying, and it's right. So constant that like it's going to happen to you many times. So I don't know. Like, I really think Bowser's Fury is neat. I really do, but.
I think it is one of the three best single player games of the year.
I think we're being honest here, though. I think we're being honest here is Halo Infinite, just for the same reasons that I said gameplay. It's new for the series. They're doing something different. A lot of what I love about Halo Infinite is what I loved about Breath of the Wild. and you guys kind of gave me shit for. I was like, oh, it's doing all these new things. You're like, it's not new. I'm like, but it's new for fucking Zelda. You know what I mean? Like, this is a well-established series that's been around for a long time, and it's trying something different. Basically, just take a series I love and make it open world, and I'm going to fucking give it Game of the Year. So that's my argument here for best single player of Halo Infinite. There's flaws to the single player, for sure. And then there's so much room for improvement on Halo Infinite, but what's there is really fun.
Okay, you can't just say something like that. You're like, I'm going to make this single player of the game, but there's so much room for improvement, my God.
I mean, even so, it's still better. I think it's still one of the best single players I played of the year. I envision what it will be in a sequel, hopefully.
Or like the expansion we get that's in the snow world next year.
Gimme.
Then I don't think we're going to be getting a sequel anytime soon, but there will be single player content to be played.
I like sequels. I like spending $60 or not.
I'm going to speak to like the quality of Halo Infinite without the qualifications that Jeff gave it. I thought it was outstanding in almost every respect. I don't think it needs dramatic improvement. I really like the campaign missions. I thought they were fantastic. I really like how it builds to the end, although I've heard some people complain about the arena missions at the end. I thought they were an excellent, like, the game built you up to that. Like, it built you up to challenge your skills that you've been building all along, and it was kind of a really nice progression to get to that point and have those more challenging missions at the end that kind of like, okay, how good at this game are you? How good have you gotten with the grapple? How can you move around the battlefield? I really like how it made Master Chief into not just this big blocky guy like he's always been in the series, but like somebody who can move quickly around a battlefield and find cover, and like it made the game mobile, which I think it's needed for a very long time. So I think it was outstanding. I think it was awesome. I think it was Game of the Year in terms of single player.
Spoilers.
He said in terms of single player.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I just qualified it. Screw you, Jeff. Screw you.
I'm agreeing with you.
I was going to say, how can you say spoilers for something that's a committee vote?
Like, I'm saying he's giving away his, you know.
I'm not going to say it's spoiler. I think we said that I think it would be on all of our Game of the Years when we talked about it in December. So it's not surprising.
I think it is a very strong front runner going into next week.
Yes.
And I can't not choose it here. So I think it will go 3-1 Halo over Bowser's Fury. But Bowser's Fury is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Just cutting out the Shrek shrines for next week's podcast. It's going to be an all Shrek show.
All right. I mean, Shrek should clearly be favored in Game of the Year somewhere.
2021 game we wish we got to play, but didn't because reasons. Jeff, you have written in Riders Republic.
Yeah, I don't know. It's because I like that genre. I just seriously don't trust the developer and stuff. And waiting for
you didn't like Steep, right?
I did not. I was like surprised how much I didn't like it. So that's why I'm like, I'm waiting on it. Wait until it's super cheap. You know.
If you wait about a month and a half or 2 months.
Yeah. Right. There
you go. You just spend $15 and you'll be able to play all the Ubisoft games you want.
Well, I'm not going to do that either. I'm not subscribing to anything else in my life. I'm done.
Until the next streaming service drops that he wants.
Fuck, dude, I am at my limit.
That gets bundled in, he doesn't even know he had.
That was a pretty funny surprise. I mean, honestly, like, looking through Disney Plus, I'm like, man, this is so not for me. Like,
ugh. I mean, unless you are a kid or have kids or are just a huge fan of Marvel.
If you have kids, it's kind of a no-brainer, right?
Yeah, it's perfect. It is.
But yeah, I think it's one. It's a tangent, but it's a hop in your streaming service, and I have it, I enjoy it. But like, I look at it sometimes, and like, unless I'm specifically going there for something, which is usually whatever new Marvel show or movie they drop, I don't think like, it's just really, they don't add a ton of new stuff. Like, I think that you realize how limited Disney's output has been, not just movies, but like, I don't, what do they do for original TV shows that aren't aimed at like, tweens?
I don't know. But there are a lot of veterinarian shows that you can watch. Right,
you don't like Unlikely Animal Farm?
National Nat Geo. You know what? The one thing I think is really neat on Disney Plus is the one thing that was there day one was the Imagineering story or whatever. I forgot. I think that's what it's called. Just kind of going into the story of how they built the parks. And they've done more docs like that I've kind of gone through since I realized I had it again. Like they did the like Behind the Rides or whatever, where it's like they'll do like an hour on you know, the Haunted Mansion or whatever. Like to me, that
I should check those out. That sounds pretty cool. Yeah.
But and there's some others. I think there's one called like Disney Insider where it'll be like I haven't watched it yet, but it sounds like they'll do a couple topics in an episode. Like one of the episodes, like one of the topics in an episode was like the elephants of Animal Kingdom. So like that stuff to me, like to me, that's the only thing about Disney that's actually pure and not like fucking evil at this point is
them talking, you know, about how great they are.
No, it's the theme park aspect. Like the film aspect is like kind of alarming. Like what they're doing with films, and I don't know. Like I watched Jungle Cruise on there. I thought it was fucking stupid. I don't know.
Jeff hates things now. That's his.
Yeah.
Hater. Yeah. When did Jeff become a hater? I thought we were supposed to be the haters, Chris. Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Oh, but we're talking video games, aren't we?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Where were we?
Anyway, Hot Wheels Unleashed is mine here.
I assume.
I bought it. I just haven't gotten to play it yet, and I want to.
So I put 3. No More Heroes 3, because that's a game that I like the franchise, but it's like a $20 game to me.
Mm-hmm.
Ratchet and Clank, because heaven forbid you try to find a PlayStation 5. Buddy Mission, which is just a Japanese exclusive Switch game that I've been curious about.
Hitman
was you.
Yes, Tony. I played through the first level. It's been a long year, and I just haven't had time to get back to
understatement.
Yeah, so I love these games.
Like it.
I have no idea why I haven't played through it. I don't have an excuse.
You know, it's so funny. You guys are talking about that Hitman trilogy coming out. It's like, dude, if you've bought these games, you kind of have it all already. Like,
well, that's what I was wondering, if there was anything new to that.
Well, there is, like. In DLC, Hitman 3, you'll import the Hitman 2 levels. Like, it's... I don't know.
Well, that's why I was wondering, like, what is the... Like, if you...
I'm not buying that. Sure, of
getting that. I'm not either, but... Because I already have all 3 games that I haven't played. But, like, what is the benefit of that trilogy? If you don't have them already, that's awesome.
I guess it's cool, but you can also just buy Hitman 3.
But like, don't you need to have Hitman 1 and 2 to import those levels?
Yeah, maybe you're right.
So maybe that's like why the trilogy works. But.
Yeah, I guess maybe you're right. But to me, I guess because since I didn't think about that because I already own them, and it's like, oh, here's the Hitman 2 levels. Oh, and it has Hitman 3 rules and tools. Okay, well, anyways, yeah, you'll like it, Tony. You should play.
Sure,
probably would have made your top 10 if you played it.
Probably.
All right, best game we played not from 2021. Who put in Shrek Forever After?
I don't know who did that. but Shrek Games are outstanding. Shrek deserves his recognition, as we all know. I've got a lot of respect for Shrek. I mean, I know Earl does too. And Jeff does as well.
Yeah, so. Love it. So.
I think we need to recognize the greatness that he's brought to the gaming industry. And I think that, you know, having played through this game to completion, as I obviously have, it deserves some notice.
I am going to get the DreamWorks Kart Racer.
and play a Shrek.
Is that what it's called? Is there a DreamWorks? It's called
DreamWorks. DreamWorks Kart Racer. Yeah, it is.
PS2 or?
It's 360.
Wow. Okay.
DreamWorks Karts with a Z. Superstar Kart. DreamWorks Superstar Karts.
Have you? I know that you like the Sonic one, but have you discovered any like these like super below the radar kart racers that are actually good yet or no?
No.
What is the thing with Wario 64 always talk about that Garfield one? Is that like just a joke that it's like terrible?
I think so.
Okay. I was wondering, like, is the Garfield just, one decent or like?
I also think it's just on sale often. So
yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so I'll let you know, Jeff. I got my Pac-Man World Rally one. That one came in the mail today. I'm going to jump into that with my son. We'll see how that
I'm telling goes. You, Mickey Speedway. Did you ever play that one?
I have. That was one on N64, right?
That one's really good.
There's another Disney one as well. Walt Disney World Magical something.
A racer?
Yeah, there's another kart racer.
On 64 or what?
It was on PlayStation and Dreamcast.
That 64 one Jaffe made. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, David Jaffe. He made that Mickey Speedway.
Walt Disney World Quest Magical Racing Tour on PlayStation and Dreamcast, and yeah, that was another Disney kart racer. There's a Muppet kart racer.
It seems like they should all be good.
A Woody Woodpecker kart racer.
My God,
it's not surprising. There's a wacky. There's several wacky race ones.
I'm still tempted by that Nickelodeon one. Buy that. Buy the Nickelodeon 2 one.
Like,
two of them, aren't there?
Yeah, get the new one.
This I was like, I think that he's like, I'm so tempted. You buy it and let me know.
Yeah, get the new one. That one. It'll go on, like the first one goes on sale for like really cheap, like, you know, $10, whatever. Second one's gone on sale now, like to like $30, or just do it. Just tell me.
All right. Anyway, best game we played not from 2021. Jeff, you put in Dark Souls 2.
Yeah, and usually when this category, you think of like it's like games you're catching up on, but I'm just taking it more literally as the game I played in 2021 that was the best, and that was Dark Souls 2. I started off last year playing through all three of the Dark Souls games, and I liked them all. I had played them all before, but I was actually surprised by how much I thought Dark Souls 2 is the best when most people think it's the worst. Like, I think Dark Souls 2 is, like, I think it's the best one, and it's, like, by far my favorite Dark Souls now. Like, I just think it's a really huge Dark Souls game that is kind of more friendly.
I put in Halo the Master Chief Collection. I kind of took it literally like Jeff did. Played through some Halo this year, but specifically we played through Reach. Tony, myself, Earl, and Walt. It was a blast doing that. that collection is phenomenal. It's still
such a hard drive.
It is. You can like kind of pick and choose.
You could just
now kinda, what you want.
So yeah,
you can shrink it a little bit. Still hog. But
I might go back then and like re-download the Halo Combat Evolved and then Reach. Like those are like the two ones for me. I don't know. I'm also pretty good with Infinite right now.
So yeah, I mean, Infinite's great. All right. Tony, what do you got on here?
Forza Horizon 4. I am not a racer by any stretch of the imagination.
You are now.
I kind of played this on a whim. It was like a Xbox weekly quest or something. Play this game and like get some points, and then I need an achievement. So I need to play long enough to get an achievement. And, you know, 30 hours later, I'm like still playing this stupid game, which is super fun. I think it kind of soured me on Forza Horizon 5 a little bit by playing too much right before Forza Horizon 5 came out. I don't regret it, though. It was just really outstanding, and I kind of like the UK biome a bit more than Mexico.
The thing about Forza as well is, like, it's not going anywhere, so, like, when you want to come back,
yeah,
Horizon 5 will be there. You can then cruise around Mexico, and
yeah,
and now you know you like it. So
yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I mean, I did play quite a bit of Forza Horizon 5, mostly because I'd played this game. I'm like, oh, I actually like this. It's nice. It's very nice.
Earl, what do you have here?
Well, I mean, you folks know I played through Miles Morales, Spider-Man. I think, I mean, we said it when the original Spider-Man came out. It was one of the best games. I think it was our game of the year. Yeah. And I think Miles Morales is probably up there. In some ways, it's not as tight. I had a lot more bugs or incidents with this one. But I think it's, you know, the story's just as impactful. I think it does trim some of the fat to make for a more concise, shorter experience. And the core gameplay, the core combat still really works. It's just a fantastic game. I was just disappointed. I mean, I don't think I got it until early 2021, and I just did not get around to playing it to the end of the year. But it was a great game. And like I spent the last week and a half, I'm like, oh, I'm just going to finish up the game. I'll turn it on, and I'll spend like an hour and a half just doing side missions. One, I love the way that how they just kind of pop up organically as you're going. So it's not like, oh, you're going to find little beacons on the map sometimes. It's like, oh, you're going here. There's a crime in progress. Can you stop it? Oh, there's something over there. You can go find it or whatever. But, and then some of the side missions with the app and stuff like that, I thought were super cute. Where it's like, yeah, some of them are super heroic. Sometimes it's just finding somebody's cat. Sometimes it's getting food. And I'm like, I like that he's actually doing non-super heroic as well. So. Yeah.
Which brings us to our final category, best multiplayer. Is the one that is most populated.
I don't think
there will be a long discussion on these. There's some I think we can cut pretty quickly, but let me go through them. Halo Infinite, Battlefield 2042. Dungeons & Dragons Dark Alliance, Back 4 Blood, Super Mario 3D World, Aliens Fireteam Elite, Splitgate, Knockout City, Mario Party Superstars, and Mario Golf Super Rush.
We can quickly Battlefield 2042, since I'm the only one who's played a lot of it. I had a lot of fun with it, but it is also broken, so...
Fair enough. To me, obviously Halo, that's the winner. And then right below it, though, for me,
wow, okay.
Right below it for me, though, is Mario Golf, which I don't think anyone else got into like I did. So, you know, it's one that's
did
like
anybody else play besides you?
Play Mario Golf.
Yeah.
Chris, okay.
Chris, would you put it on this list?
Hold on.
What?
Does nobody else here like golf games?
I don't like golf.
Be honest. I know.
Golf sucks. Except for that one golf game we played last year.
Golf with Friends are multiplayer.
That's not
golf 2020.
Really? You don't like the Tiger Woods games, Tony?
No. I play other sports games, but not that one.
That's surprising. Yeah, I don't know what to say about it other than what I've said a million times. It gives you a good, solid golf game, but it's very approachable and kind of party atmosphere-like. So, but
awesome. Cross it off.
I'm
also going to cross off Aliens Fireteam Elite because I don't think any of you guys played it, especially not multiplayer. And Splitgate, which I think I only played, that is a phenomenal Halo meets Portal.
That game gets so much like
I wish I had played something
like that. Yeah.
It's really cool. But then Halo Infinite came out and I completely fell off of it. So, but excellent game. That leaves us with Mario Party Superstars, Knockout City, Super Mario 3D World, Back 4 Blood, Dungeons & Dragons Dark Alliance, and Halo Infinite.
There's more I'd want to instantly cut here, but I'll let Earl fall on his own swords.
Which one? Because I don't.
You're not willing to sacrifice Mario 3D World that just added fucking online multiplayer? Come on.
I mean, even aside from that, it's still a fantastic four-player co-op game.
Sure, from 2014 or whatever.
I mean, it's not new. I mean, you don't necessarily need to argue if it's new or not.
I'm offering you swords to fall on.
It's still a really good co-op game. Added multiplayer makes it even better. And Bowser's Fury is also a co-op experience.
Has anybody else played this game?
I think everybody else has played it.
We all played
myself.
We should have played it together.
In multiplayer, I have not played this.
I have not played in multiplayer.
We failed. Okay.
So, damn it, Earl! You need to.
We failed Earl here.
I didn't even know this game had multiplayer.
That's 3D World. That's what it is.
I wish I knew Bowser Fury did. Maybe I would have made a concerted effort to try and play it. All right, I'll leave it for 1 second. I think we cut back for Blood.
It's super fun, but it's not awesome.
Yeah.
I do appreciate the Dark Alliance shout out though. Thank you, Chris.
Yeah,
well, I think we can cross that game out.
We could probably cut it, although Jeff and I had a lot of fun playing.
It was fun. It is fun, you know. I don't think there's anything really too wrong with it. It's, you know, it's like a 6 out of 10 game, but it's fun. You know?
and much more fun when you're playing with other people.
Yeah.
Like all games.
Well, that game was like definitely.
All right.
I thought you were going to tell me to take a bath on Knockout City, because I feel like I'm the only one who played it or the only one who had a super positive impression of it.
Yeah, but it's like I also know that it's out there that people really dug it, you know.
And you seemed really into it for a bit.
And I still am whenever it, problem is getting a group together to really play it. But, yeah, I think it's a really, really good, It's a really good, different type of multiplayer game. Like it's a very simple mechanic wise, but it's one of those games because it's so simple and games can last so quickly or go on forever. It works for me. And I think I think them making it free was a wise decision, and I can't wait to see, I wish more people would play it. I wish I had more people to play it with. I play it with some of my friends, but like we get together like once every 2 months. But yeah, it's really worth checking out.
What if we cut one of the Nintendo games?
So what is left?
The Halo 3D World plus Bowser's Fury, which I didn't know had multiplayer. So I think that kind of speaks a little bit to that. Mario Party Superstars, which you and Jeff seemed pretty high on, and Knockout City.
I mean, we can knock out. I would knock out Mario Party personally. it's still a fun game, but I think really, I mean, I think this is the one where Jeff is like, it's really because it added multiplayer, it added online that it gets further for me.
Mario Party Superstars does.
Yes.
Jeff, are you okay cutting that one?
Jeff's dead. I will speak on his behalf. Sure, he's okay with it.
All right. sorry, Jeff.
What happened?
Mario Party Superstars, because you weren't here to argue for it.
I wasn't going to argue for it.
Okay. Well, there we go.
One of the Nintendo ones. So we didn't know if which one you wanted, but Earl advocated for Bowser's Fury and 3D World, and Tony voted on your behalf to cut Mario Party Superstars.
I think this off, but like I don't really care about runners up. I think Infinite's the winner, right?
Infinite has to be the winner.
I think. So do whatever you want.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure where Earl falls on this, but I don't think it's getting past the three of us.
Oh no, I think I've said it before. I adore Heroes Multiplayer. I've adored Heroes Multiplayer for 2 decades now. It's fantastic. I think we've had a ton of great nights with it. I have great nights with other friends. I think, I mean, for me personally, once they added Fiesta, it's gotten much better too. I think what's really helped is this varies a month, but because we play in a group, it's much easier because like we've all had those experiences. We play at random, then everybody forgets the objective is an objective. So it's nice when you can coordinate with people and they, you know, go after the thing that you're supposed to be going after.
So, for some reason, it's so much easier in Halo 2 to assemble a full crew. Whereas I feel like in other games, you always seem one guy short.
Yeah.
The one thing I will say against it, I guess, is whatever is going on with Big Team Battle and us.
Yeah, that needs to be fixed.
They did announce that there's a fix incoming, so hopefully that'll be cleaned up soon.
Yeah, but it's been three or four. Yeah, it's been a while.
So weird. It's been
busted. That was the worst thing. Where we finally had all of us in a party together, and it took a shit. Like
right. Me, the first time we did it, it worked.
Yeah.
Oh, but Team Battle was fine all pre-launch. Anytime I played it several times. I don't go to it often. It, basically, when we have too many people, that's when we end up in Big Team Battle, and it was working fine.
Yeah, then it took a shit.
One weekend, like that one time, and then ever since then, it's that's been the story of it. I don't know. Dude, like the fact that I'm like your bad to average player, where it's like a good match for me is slightly positive kill death ratio, and the fact that I still like really love it says something, you know. I think the only bad thing I'd have to say about it really is that it really needs more maps, but that's we know that that's going to happen, so.
Yeah, I do hope that we'll get new maps at the end of season one, which is a long season. It's not going to end until May.
Too long. Wait, like really, I'm going to fall off. I already kind of have.
It can't just be like two or three maps. So like we need a good drop.
Yeah, like at least double. I'd say double what you have right now, because what you have right now is not that many. You know.
But I assume once Forge hits, we'll get, you know, some of that stuff in there as well. So anyway, Halo is always fun to return to. So
yeah, I'm you know what I've been doing is starting off the year playing some of the best games of all time. Just like I think I kind of took that from you, Chris. You start every year with Super Mario Brothers. I'm like, I'm gonna play the Nintendo games.
Well, there we go. Those are our awards. Tony Strategy Game of the Year, Old World. Our best single player was Halo Infinite. Our best multiplayer was Halo Infinite.
I wonder which way Network is going.
A little bit of theme going here. I think Forza's got this.
Yeah, I think it has it locked up. Best remaster, remake, reboot was Mass Effect Legendary Edition. Biggest disappointment was Apex Legends. Biggest surprise was MLB The Show on Game Pass. Best music sound was Cruisin' Blast. Best looking game, Forza Horizon 5. Best moment was just Resident Evil's full of moments. Best story was Guardians of the Galaxy, and best gameplay, Halo Infinite. So definitely come back next week for us to not tell you Halo Infinite is a game of the year.
Well, here's the thing: in the next week, everyone's gonna play Axiom Verge 2, and they're gonna be like, "Oh my god, Jeff was right!" Like
Hitman 3, obviously.
Yeah, rearrange 3. All this shit.
Or Far Cry 6. Hear me out. Hear me out.
Does anyone have games that they're trying to catch up on? Or do they feel like they have their top 10 list done at this point?
Like I said, I just started Guardians, so I'm kind of curious to put some time into that. Because, again, I've heard so many people say good things about it. But outside of that, I think I have a pretty good, because I forgot that we split this off into two. So I actually did put together a primary list this week to kind of just start to whittle it down. And I think I need to place them, but I have an idea of what the top three are. And then I just want to see where Guardians would fall if I do end up enjoying it.
Yeah.
Yep, Guardians is the one that I'm kind of poking at right now to see where Bert falls on the list. If it falls on the list.
My list is locked. There was a last minute change recently, but otherwise it's very locked. And I will say this, you know, no matter how it falls for all of us, like, we got more time than any professional critics or YouTubers or whoever usually allow themselves for this. Like, we really, you know, we're going to be near the end of January doing that, right? And
yeah, we gave
ourselves time to catch up on the things that we were interested in.
We've had this discussion before. I honestly don't know why people rush it out before the holiday season other than needing content.
It's the best is, like, film critics, like, December 1st, that's when the top 10 lists drop. And it's like, dude, you haven't seen all the big movies? Like, I mean, they have a lot of them, but...
And to be fair, a lot of people have played the big games. I think for us, or at least more for me, my thinking is always, like, from a mental health standpoint, it makes a lot more sense, because a lot of people, like, during the holiday times can be stressful, but, like, you know, like, I tend to stop buying games in mid-November in case somebody wants to get me something, even though I tell them not to. But also, you get that, you kind of get, like, Rui, what was the last big game that came out this year? Hell, you can say, but, like, that came out in November. The single player came out in December. So you have, like, a month, month and a half where you can actually catch up on games and play through them and not have, like, another game coming out.
You do it, you know, like, mid-December, it's like you're caught up in that rush, and it's like, I just feel like your judgment ain't right yet. Like, a lot of the biggest games you're still kind of either digesting or still playing through. You have the recency bias stuff happening. This, like, extra month of thinking about it, I think, is, like, pretty helpful.
Yeah. Yeah, you know? I think us moving it from December, where we were recording right before Christmas.
I do miss the days of staying up till fucking 3 a.m, hammered off my fucking ass.
It was fun. Like,
it was
they were
fun, but I'm fucking old.
Exactly.
I would also say, I also do enjoy the podcast we did last week. The ones where, like, we actually go through, because, like, it's sometimes difficult to remember a full calendar year, and, like, what, like, you know, Jeff kind of mentioned recency bias with some of the games. Like, yeah, like, remembering that Resident Evil and Hitman were actually 2021 games, because they are so far in the start of the year that you don't think about them. You think about, like, the last 5 or 6 months or so. And then there's that also that weird tendency where people are like, oh, I played this game, I love it. And it's like, it's nice sometimes to kind of sit back and actually let some things sit with you and see, like, do I love it, or was it just because I just finished it and I enjoyed my time with it?
Yep. All right. Well, we'll be back next week with our top tens of the year, and also we'll then put them together and create a joint top 10. I don't think it will last as long as this one, but we'll see. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.